My pleasure to be with you again today. And for those of you who are enjoying a no doubt nice weather in Vancouver, it's jumped up to 35 degrees Celsius this afternoon here in Golden Lake. I believe that's somewhere around 96 degrees Fahrenheit. So we're probably going to break the 100 physically. They already say it's over 100 the way the temperature feels. So anyhow, I'm inside, out of the weather, in my office, and I'm delighted to be with you again this morning. So we are continuing with the theme of reception. That is, reception into the local church. Remember, there are two churches in view. The body of Christ is called the church in the scriptures. And to get into that church, one must see themselves as a sinner and Jesus as the only Savior, and in all humility, trust Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation. Then you're born again in the family of God. And in doing so, you're placed into, I'm going to call it the big church, the body of Christ, the universal church. But our series is really focusing on reception into the local church, local like 16th Avenue or local like any other Christ-centered church in your city of Vancouver or the Pembroke Bible Chapel where Ann and I fellowship, or thousands of other places. I'll never forget, I visited an Aboriginal church in Malaysia, in the backwoods of Malaysia. That little church gathered in a bamboo building, probably about maybe 10 feet by 12 feet on stilts, on poles, in a dry riverbed. And when I crawled up the ladder and looked into that little building where the church gathered, there was a small table made out of bamboo. It was the only piece of furniture there. I was told by the guide, my friend, and one of the elders, of which I could not speak his language and he couldn't speak mine, but through the translator, I was told they put the bread and the cup on that table and they remembered the Lord. That's a local church. And so we're talking about how do you get in? Not to the body of Christ. It's a fellowship. How do you get into that fellowship? We suggested that there is an order. I'm going to call it principles. This is not the law, but this is the natural order in Scripture. We talked about this in our prior sessions. The natural order is the preaching of the gospel, the conviction of your heart, to receive the message that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and water baptism followed, and then they were added to the local church. We found all this in Acts chapter 2, and in particular verse 41, they were baptized and they were added to the local church. Now, we suggested last time, who then is added? And we came to the conclusion, Christians, of course, we are to receive people who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are called saved ones, believers, disciples, Christians, saints, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we suggested from Scripture that we are to receive them as the Lord Jesus received us. And we looked at some verses considering that. And we also suggested that we are to receive those who are weak in the faith, Romans 14, receive without respect of persons, race, social level, culture, education, etc. James chapter 2, receive those who are weak in knowledge. We receive on the basis that they are believers and not those who know everything, okay? Acts chapter 18, receive them on the testimony of somebody that you trust. A letter of reference, a testimony of others. We focused on Barnabas bringing Saul of Tarsus back to Jerusalem, and the saints in Jerusalem were afraid. They had heard about this man, and Barnabas stood in for him. He said, no, he got saved. He's a child of God. He's been called of God. And on the basis of the testimony of Barnabas, they received Saul of Tarsus into that fellowship at that time. So the whole point of fellowship is those who are saved, those who are like-minded, those who want to love the Lord and serve the Lord, be a part of the fabric of the fellowship. Now, before I leave that, and I told you last week we were going on to not who should be received, but who should receive these people. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before I leave this, there are some people that you should not receive into the local church. You shouldn't receive them. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. Why should we not receive them? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and following, now you read that, I'm not going to take time to read it. The Lord lays out the difference between the saved and the lost, the believer and the unbeliever. What fellowship has light, darkness, etc., and etc. So I'm suggesting that received into the fellowship of the local church. Now, we probably got a sign on our church. I haven't looked at it lately. You probably got a sign on your church that says, all welcome. Well, of course they're welcome. We want people to come in and hear about the Lord Jesus. We want them to come in and hear that God loves them, that Christ died for them, that he rose again to forgive them of their sins. But in the strictest sense, the church, the local church, is to be an expression of the universal church. And in the universal church, there are no unbelievers. So you're not to receive unbelievers into your local fellowship to be a fabric, be a part, work together, serve together, love the Lord together. They can't do it. They're not believers. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to Christ. And so we have to be very careful to love the unbeliever, to share Christ with them, but in no way should they be a part of the fellowship, that is, the breaking of bread or the service or reaching out or any kind of work for the Lord, fellowship in the Lord. They don't have the Lord. Now, we want to be courteous. We want to be polite, but we want to be very careful. As far as we know, look, only God knows. Listen, I see right here we got 58 people tuned in. Out of all the 58 people and part of them I see on my screen, I'm the only one I'm sure about, okay? You all look like Christians. Everybody looks great, you know? And many of you, I know, have trusted the Lord, and hopefully all of you have trusted the Lord. But the point is, only God knows. And so we can't say he is, he's not, she is, she's not. But we have to be careful not to just open the door and say, whoever wants to come into our fellowship, if they're not a believer, if they don't profess to be a believer, then they should not be received into the fellowship. Let me give you another thought. There might be people who want to be part of your fellowship who hold different doctrine. Now, the church, the local assembly will have a statement of faith. I'm sure you have one there at 16th. We have one. Statement of faith or guiding principle. It sort of tells you what direction this fellowship moves in, about salvation, about serving the Lord, about baptism, about Lord's Supper, about women's role or men's role, about giving, and just all kind of priesthood of all believers and gifts and all kind of things. Okay. Now, there might be someone who says, now, I'd like to be a part of that. And when you talk to them, it is obvious that they hold a different doctrine. They understand the scripture in a different way. And so you'd want to be very careful to say, now, you know, we don't baptize babies here. Oh, well, we baptize babies where we are. And I think that's proper to baptize babies. And you go, well, we don't really baptize babies here. And I'll show you in the scriptures why we don't baptize babies here. And they may say, well, if you don't baptize babies here, I'm not sure if I want to be a part of this. There are all kind of scenarios. They may hold to a different doctrine on last days or the coming of Christ or Calvinism versus Arminianism. There might be all kind of different opinions of the scripture. And I would like to think that if someone who held to a different opinion of the scripture wanted to come into the fellowship I was in, that they would recognize that our fellowship doesn't teach what they believe. And if they're okay with that, if they're not upset with that, if they would promise not to promote that, that they could live with that, they could compromise, then I, well, why not? Of course they'd be welcome, you know. But they may choose not to. Oh, you don't believe in baptizing babies, or you don't believe in certain things that they are used to. We always have a pastor. You don't have a pastor here. What's wrong with you? Don't you know anything about the Bible, you know? And so just be careful. I'm just saying, you just want to be careful. We want to be open and courteous and respectful, but you do have a position. And thank God your elders have taken a doctrinal position on things. And so you just want to be careful about receiving people. You don't tell them you can't be part of this, but you say, you know, we're not going to be teaching that. Are you okay with that? Will you promise not to cause division, not to promote your teaching? There's several things like that. Perhaps we'll get into that a little bit more later. So I just wanted to say that before we go to the next part, and that is, who should receive candidates, people, believers, saints, disciples, Christians? Who should receive them? How does that work? Do they just walk in the door and sit down? And you say, well, great, that's perfect. You're part of this assembly now. Or is there a sense in which people know if they are part of that fellowship? Or is there a formal reception so people can understand, hey, this is where I belong. I have joined with these who follow the Lord and follow the scriptures and all. So the question is, who does that? Who receives this person? Wonderful candidate, loves the Lord, looking for church fellowship, answered all the hard questions, et cetera, et cetera. Now, who does it? That's my point. Now, let's look up a few scriptures. First of all, I want you to go to Acts chapter 20, book of Acts chapter 20. And just let me read a few verses in Acts chapter 20. In the context here, the Apostle Paul is asking for the elders at Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, that he would like to meet with them, and he wanted to talk to them and go over some things with them and encourage them and warn them and admonish them, et cetera, and et cetera. So within that context, there's an important verse that we want to just highlight for a moment. And look at verse 27 and 28, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Now you go back and read the verses prior to that, and you'll understand what he's talking about here. Okay. In verse 28, he says to them, "Having said that, having shared that with you, therefore take heed to yourselves," those elders that came from Ephesus, "and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," notice, "to feed," or "to shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He goes on to say, "I know that after my departure, grievous wolves are coming," et cetera, and et cetera. He'll continue to warn them. But just let me point this out to you, that overseers are the same as shepherds. Overseers, they oversee. They are under the great overseer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Under the head of the church comes the elders. They are called elders. He said to call, tell the elders to come. So the elders are coming. He says to the elders, "I want you to take heed to yourself and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." He said to the elders, the Holy Spirit's made you an overseer. And he said to the elders, "I want you to shepherd the church." So let's just establish a point. The point is, the head of the universal church is the Lord Jesus. Those responsible for the local church are called elders, and or bishops is another term, and or overseers, another term, same people, and or shepherds, same people. They are responsible for the flock, okay? And they are accountable for the flock. Philippians, just to drive this point home, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Just notice how Paul addresses the letter, okay? Verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ." Now notice who he addresses the letter to. "To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi." Great. "With the bishops and the deacons." The bishops and the deacons in that order are make up the oversight or the leadership in the local church. Now, deacons are not elders. Maybe we'll get into that one day. And elders are not deacons. They have different roles, different callings. Okay. For instance, the Holy Spirit chooses out and appoints the elders, and the assembly chooses out and appoints the deacons. Kind of interesting. Nevertheless, he mentions the saints, the local people, the saved ones, and the bishops and the deacons. Now, my goodness, that clock's not right, is it? I'm sure it must be something wrong with that clock. Hurry, we're going to go just one more reference here. Hebrews chapter 13. Please go there with me, and I'll have to close here today. And the next time I'm with you, I know Ron's here next week, we'll take this thought up again. Just a couple of verses. First of all, verse number seven, we're thinking about who receives people into the assembly. We haven't told you the answer to that question yet, but we are establishing headship in the assembly. Verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, I read that verse just to give you perhaps this thought. Some of the overseers, some who have spoken the word of God, those who have ruled over you, they're in that overruler capacity, have already died. They're gone. And the admonition here, whose faith follow. You see that? It didn't say whose failures follow, because they all have them. They didn't say whose faults follow, but whose faith follow, because it's very possible some of these had already gone to be with the Lord. So, in other words, your oversight is your example, and you should follow them in their faith. Now, quickly look at verse 17. Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, next week, I want to pick up right here, or in 2 weeks, I want to pick up right here. And I want to give you a surprise ending, perhaps, to the question, who should receive? Let me give you a hint. Not the oversight. And that's just a hint. And we'll get to that in a couple of weeks, and I'll explain that answer to you when we get there. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you have given us such good guidelines and clear scripture to help us know about reception into the local church. So, Lord, thank you as we continue this series. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the interest of the dear ones. And we pray your name would be lifted up, glorified, honored, and your people will be encouraged and instructed in the way of the Lord, in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay.